We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Check them out online, goldsgym.com. You can download the free 3-day VIP pass and give Gold's a shot before you join.
I ended up going to Gold's last night. I'm still got some issues from this weekend, but I went and sat in the sauna and it really helped open me up.
There you go.
I even feel better.
You sound better. You sound a lot better.
That's true. Good.
Davey was at the Auburn game over the weekend. Jordan Rogers, media broadcast analyst now, tweeted out the statistics about Auburn being predictable on offense against Tennessee based on their personnel. Versus Tennessee, when a tight end slash fullback, predominantly Chandler Cox, is on the field versus off the field. When they've got the tight end, the H back on the field, they were 35 of 47 rush or screen for 74%. When he was off the field, they threw the ball 30 times out of 33, 91% of the time. So when Chandler Cox or similar was off the field, they were essentially going to throw the ball.
You'd think for $49 million guaranteed, you could mix it up a little bit. We're predictable, but it's not a guy. It's just, hey, it's first down. Tennessee's running it.
Hand signals. Pat the butt.
But we do that. Like, we're basically telling teams we're doing that.
Yeah.
They are, but I don't think they mean to. How could you get this deep into the season and not have a couple of wrinkles off of Cox being in the game for a pass play? I'm not kidding. Did Gus Malzahn take the summer off?
Maybe.
Did he say, got the contract, if I get fired, that's more money with less work, let's just try to get fired? Because I'm thinking that might be what John Gruden's doing.
Nah, I don't know that you try to get fired, you just don't do anything. And if it goes well, great. You let other people...
I don't know, but if you get fired, I mean, obviously...
Jim Boeheim's done this for years. Like, you just let everyone else do all the work.
You gotta be fired without cause, but unfortunately for schools, being horrible at your job isn't cause unless you cheat.
Quick note on Gruden. Fans in, I guess, Oakland, maybe Las Vegas, but just Raiders fans have started a countdown clock of when his 10-year contract is up.
Oh, God. Sorry, guys. It's kind of like Malzahn. I think you're just stuck with him for a while.
Yeah, did you see the SEC short with the teacher and all the teams getting their report cards, kind of their grades back?
Yeah, what did it say?
Well, the Auburn one I thought was the funniest because it was the Auburn, student wouldn't come out of like the little in classroom treehouse thing. She's like, Auburn, come down here. We have to go over your midseason report. And the Auburn kid just yelled out, "Not for another." And it was like the length of Gus Malzahn's contract.
7 years.
Yeah. So many days, hours, minutes, like the whole thing.
Fire me, please.
Like, to me, that's the Auburn fan base right now, just counting it down.
Yesterday after the show, we talked about how the situation in which Malzahn received his extension was awkward because the athletic director wasn't the person who ended up basically having him sign the deal. What had happened was, and again, we were kind of talking about there's the law of like third degree of separation. Everything is tied back to Tennessee in some form or facet. And Bruce Pearl and all the issues that were surrounding Auburn basketball led to Auburn's athletic director being fired. He had done some work on the contract extension for Malzahn, but was never able to get everything together. So once he got fired, they didn't have a new athletic director in place at the time, and they knew they needed to act. So the president of Auburn and their leadership within the administration was who ended up extending Gus Malzahn's contract. And according to people I've talked to that are big fans of Auburn, their president doesn't really have much of an idea of how football operations should be handled. So Malzahn gets extended this contract by someone who's not very familiar with football. And so it kind of goes to the fact that there wasn't really anybody else they could have gone and had come in and coached that would have been better, but they're still just frustrated with the amount of money that is involved for Malzahn's buyout if things were to go south. So Auburn just kind of got into the same situation that Tennessee did when you were looking at a couple of years ago. You kind of had the lame duck athletic director and you couldn't make a move on football when we're all like, you probably should fire Butch Jones after 2016 when he's proven he's not the guy who's going to get it done. So Auburn, they got a new athletic director a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two after they had gone ahead and signed Gus Malzahn to his current deal.
Yeah, but I mean, it's different though. I mean, I don't think his deal necessarily is bad if you're trying to keep a good coach. The problem is this year he has not been good.
Well,
the numbers make sense. Like the numbers of the contract aren't. I mean, obviously they're outrageous because all coaching salaries in the SEC are pretty outrageous. But
if this was his first year, like no one's getting fired after their first year. So if you view it as this is the first year of his extension, we're going to give him more time. That's the commitment you make when you make an extension like this. The problem is like
now, if you want to say they extended him too far. I'll buy that. If you want to say it should have been extend him to 5 years instead of but at the risk you have there is that then every year you're going to go back to the negotiating table if you're the coach and the agent and you're going to say okay, not as many years on the contract. I get that. So I need more money up front. I mean if Auburn was 6-0 right now, no one cares.
No.
And after last year and with what they returned, a lot of people thought they were going to be really good. The problem is that's why I started the segment with the joke. Gus Malzahn has taken the year off. Like he's been fishing and going to the beach and theme parking because
Waffle housing.
Mm-hmm. He's made the tour because his team is falling apart on the inside. There doesn't really seem to be any leadership on the team, and he's the coach. I don't know, and it's weird to me because I don't remember seeing stats like that before this year on the Auburn offense. Typically, it's Gus Malzahn, genius. They start a little bit slow, but man, when they get it going, that offense is a sight to behold.
Well, we've talked about it. I mean, Auburn never really has just a, hey, you're middle of the pack type season. They're either really, really good or really, really bad.
It's true.
It's kind of like that offense. I mean, they're either, like, the first two drives, I was like, oh, goodness, they've we caught them.
We caught them
in their backs against the
wall. I got the text and checked, and I was like, "Dang it! Of course, Auburn figured it out
for
us."
I mean, they were going, hurry up, no huddle. They were just bam, bam, bam. No matter what they ran, it seemed like it got 8 yards, 12 yards, and then like has happened this season. I mean, they just got stagnant as the game went along, and it was kind of the fear of missing out. It's like we've got this team that we think might be one of the few teams in the country that could compete with Alabama at the end of the season, especially if it's been a long and kind of, if the Alabama team gets beat up a little bit by the time we get to the Iron Bowl, we're the team that we think we can beat them.
Yep.
I mean, we've done it before, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got our quarterback back. We've got a lot of our pieces back. We've got to have our coach. We can't not have our coach. We can't let him go to Arkansas. So they just, like Davey said, without kind of the right leadership in place, just did whatever they had to do to make it happen. And now that things
aren't
going
well. At the time, he was flirting with Arkansas, and I realized that maybe that was fake. But if you're Auburn, again, like it's like what we said last week, if you don't pay it, somebody will. And last year, somebody absolutely would have given Gus Malzahn the exact same contract or bigger to steal him from Auburn had he been willing to jump. None of that matters if they aren't terrible for Auburn standards this year. And it's not even Auburn standards. It's based on what they did last year and what they brought back. That's what makes this so crazy. That said, Tennessee just took care of business. That was supposed to be the players-only meeting, fix the problem, Auburn's back. And Tennessee hit Auburn in the mouth.
Well, we
came in.
We talked about this
steal the show.
Last week.
Stole the show.
Last week, didn't we? Like it's so nice for Tennessee now to at least have a moment again where they took out, stepped on somebody's throat a little bit and said, put their program behind the eight ball and said, hey,
yeah,
we're going to pile
on
here. You guys aren't.
Yeah,
you guys have the chaos. Take this.
Yeah, SEC, good job last year. That was a nice victory lap for every other team. But, like, now it's our turn to hopefully ruin a season or two. Like, that's our job now.
Right.
South Carolina, Vandy, 2016, great job. We're going to do that to some folks this year. At least that's the hope. Maybe Kentucky. Maybe Missouri. I don't know. But it does feel nice that you feel now as if you have a chance to be that team, whereas certainly last year it was just like, eh, yeah, maybe we can beat Kentucky. Maybe we can beat Missouri. Whatever. Maybe. Who really cares? I mean, I'm reading Don't Kill Myself
books. You theoretically could have a chance to keep Kentucky out of Atlanta.
Exactly.
Which that would be pretty cool.
I mean,
cool
it would also probably
been.
Put Florida in.
Yeah, it could put Georgia back in.
Yeah. I'd be Either fine with one. That. I'd be fine with that. That would be a tasty treat to end the season, right? I mean, that would be a nice little.
You don't want Kentucky thinking they can be good at football. Like, you need to restore your
certainly
rightful place as one of the haves and make sure Kentucky's back into the have-nots. I mean, they're one of the few teams in the SEC that's never been to Atlanta.
So, Tennessee so far this year, real quick, we were talking about running the football.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you about kind of moving forward, right? Who are the two best defensive lines in the SEC you've played so far?
That Tennessee's played?
Yeah.
It's Auburn.
Auburn and Georgia, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't know if...
66 yards against Georgia, 68 yards against Auburn. Both on the road, I might add. You had 156 versus Florida. And you had to pass in that game a lot more probably than you normally would because you're trying to come back.
I don't even know if we can count anything from the Florida
game. That's fair.
Even the bad stuff.
That's absolutely fair. But don't you think outside of Alabama, the rest of the D-lines on the schedule fall probably somewhere between Florida and West Virginia?
Yeah, but if they keep checking off to exactly where they're going to run the football, then, you know, high school can load up and stop that for 3 yards probably. I mean, like, they just have to be less predictable. I think they will. They'll work on that.
So what do you think this week? What are they doing? Who are they prepping for now? I'm still quite bitter, by the way, that South Carolina gets another bye week this week instead of having to make up the game that got canceled due to weather. I'm kind of upset by that. But if you're Tennessee, is this week's practice 100% focused on Alabama? Is it 75 Alabama, 25 South Carolina?
You know, the nice thing is South Carolina's defense is probably formationally is pretty similar to Alabama's, so you can kind of
Muschamp's. It's the Saban tree. It's going to be a lot of the same stuff.
You know, from an offensive standpoint, you don't really have to. I mean, you can just start working on concepts that, at least the base concepts that you'll probably use in both weeks. And then, yeah, you could start working on some of the counters that you're not going to run against Alabama and that you're going to run not just against South Carolina, but in other games.
Maybe
later
you run concept one against Alabama.
Yeah.
And then you have that concept and the counter concept available for South Carolina.
For the next
so, in
one.
A way, you use the Alabama game to run the clock and trick South Carolina into expecting certain things.
I think you probably just use this.
But, man, I will say if Tua doesn't play, I'm going to feel very weird. Like, at that point, it's going to feel like, well, maybe you should go for it. Maybe you should try to just go all out.
I don't think you beat it. You don't really beat Alabama by tricking them, though. You know, the only teams that have ever beaten Alabama are teams that, guess what, identified man coverage and just chucked the ball up to it and then got a little lucky. Chad Kelly with a bounce.
Though.
Nick Marshall with a play where he really – probably should have ran across the line of scrimmage, but held up to the last minute and, you know, hit a 60-yard touchdown. Like, or you just had Cam Newton. I mean, like, those are the only ways you beat Alabama.
Well, so, I'm also a little bit worried, too, about Jarrett because, you know, getting hit by big defensive linemen has been a theme. And Alabama, I've said it for years, they hit just a little harder than everybody else. They're a little bit bigger than everybody else. They're a little bit stronger than everybody else. And apparently now they're throwing punches after they get you on the ground. I'm really, because of Saturday on the Plains and what you did, the outlook for the season has completely changed. You went from 3-9 or 4-8 to now people are starting to think the team's getting better. Quarterback, offense is coming around. The defenses will get worse. This team has a chance to go to a bowl.
Yeah.
Like a legitimate chance, but you have to keep Jarrett Guarantano healthy, I think. I mean, I think Keller Crisp would come in and be serviceable, and over the back half of the schedule, maybe it's not as dire that it has to be Jarrett, but I think keeping Guarantano healthy this week is – keeping your team healthy this week is so important. And I'm not trying to say that it's Bama, don't even try, just run the clock out, get out of there if you can. But I just worry that if you try to do too much too soon, or even, you know, once the game is kind of over, because you're still, you know, competing, and I get it. You want them to compete, but I need them to be smart this week, because no one in, I mean, what is it, 29 points, 29 and a half points? Something I know like they just that. Covered 15. I'd love to know, has anybody in the, what was ODU when they beat Virginia Tech earlier in the year? Was that 29 and a half? Was it less?
It was less.
All I'm saying is I would rather not cover this game and stay healthy than lose by single digits, but lose guys that are going to help you beat the South Carolinas, Missouris, Kentuckys, Vanderbilts, and Charlottes. I hate to be that guy. That sounds very wimpy.
You're still picking wins over, like, it's not like you're trading an Alabama win for multiple other wins, though. You're still saying you'd rather win games than look good in a loss. Your take is actually anti-moral victory.
Yeah.
You would rather not have a moral victory this week to have real victories later.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think that's a good
give me the real victories.
Yeah. I mean, don't get
me
wrong.
Does that make sense? I don't want to sound like a baby. I don't want to sound like I'm so scared of Alabama that, we don't even try. Just run the ball, take knees, and get out of there. Don't get hurt.
Well, it doesn't matter,
though. The rest of this season, it just matters now. It matters so much more after what you did on Saturday.
Getting your quarterback hit, though, is a recipe for bad football. They go together. Like, staying healthy and not turning the football over go together. So yeah. I don't know. One will probably lend itself to the next. Like, you want to keep the football and stay on the field, and you're probably going to run some pressure release stuff. The problem is going to be if Alabama plays with two safeties deep and stops your run, then you're screwed.
But don't we expect them to
do
that?
Yeah. Because those pass plays that Garantano hit this week on single coverage down the sideline, you're going to have a safety coming over just lighting those receivers up.
Lighting them up or jumping in front of the ball.
Right. As they've been known to do. That's going to be the problem. If they're playing coverage and still able to stop your run game, if they try and play coverage, then you just have to try and run it or hit them with the short intermediate stuff and try and keep the chains moving until they and force them to finally bring somebody up. I'm just not sure Tennessee's good enough to do that. Hardly anyone in the country is. So
I just got a DM. I will not say who it's from. It says, Upward wants their promo back. You play to win the game. It's Bama. Bleep them.
My point is, I think playing to win the game against Alabama is also the same way you would play to keep your quarterback healthy. Because your quarterback getting hit and stripped, fumbled, and touchdowns and all that stuff is the same. Like getting Garantano hurt and getting Garantano hit and losing the game are the same thing to me. Like, it's if it's a video game and I don't have to worry about the quarterback actually getting hurt, I still don't want him getting hit when he's not expecting it, because it's going to lead to interceptions, fumbles, and turnovers. So I mean, I don't think if you've got this one trick play you know is going to work, you probably don't run that against Alabama. That's about the only thing that really changes for me. You definitely don't spend all week putting in all new stuff for Alabama. You're not going to win the game tricking them that way anyway. So you might as well just try and become a better football team this week and go out. And as Jeremy Pruitt said, and I think this is correct, you play the best team in the country, it's a great way to measure and just kind of see where you are.
He also said, we don't need to work on punt return this week.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
It's not that it's not good. It just is what it is.
Right.
They're Alabama.
Well,
it's
just not.
They're high-flying offense.
I didn't mean it's not good in this situation. It's just not good in general.
I guess we can talk about, if you're Bama, do you play Tua? Here we are talking about protecting Jarrett Garantano. Alabama has a real issue with playing Tua Tagovailoa.
We'll debate that on the flip side.
We'll also update. A lot of Tennessee players won awards this week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stats that suggest this team is destined for a pretty bright future based on some young guys balling out. That later.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee racked up the awards this week. got SEC Players of the Week. On offense, Jarrett Garantano. On defense, Kyle Phillips.
Easy. You're running down my list. Sorry. Again, I teased something, and you just jump right in.
You teased the statistics. I was going to leave those for you.
I teased awards and stats. I teased them both.
Okay, well, I took half.
Let's get this out of the way, because we didn't mention it yesterday somehow, and I guess we need to go ahead and mention it today. Get it out of the way. It's Optimism Tuesday, we're going to have a negative, and then we're going to list a bunch of positives, because you always try to bury the negative with the positives.
Bad news first.
Jonathan Kongbo will miss the remainder of the season with a torn right ACL on a dirty block, I might add. Maybe not dirty, but low. Maybe a little dirty. Maybe a little cheap. It was late. It was late in the game. The game was probably over. Didn't really like it. I'm not a big fan. Even Jeremy Pruitt says we need to probably look at targeting for stuff like that when you dive at the side of someone's knee. Interesting thought.
I'd be fine if they just took cut blocking out of football. I don't understand why we need that anymore.
But then do you take low tackling out?
No.
Okay.
That's different.
Just curious.
The when you get cut, as the defender's watching the ball carrier.
They're
having to deal with a
cut. I'm aware. I'm just saying I don't know what the answer is. And I don't. Some plays are borderline, some are obvious, and some, if it's done the right way, it's like, yeah, that's a cut block, but there's no way anybody's going to get injured because they did it the right way. I don't know. You just hate to see this, and it seems like Tennessee's D linemen have been the victim of that type of block a lot lately.
Well, Shies was.
Shies was 100% dirty.
Side and back.
Yeah. Georgia can go to hell.
The Auburn guy at least did it forward.
Yeah, you know, he did. It's just, from the front. I don't know. I don't like it. Not a fan. And I feel terrible for Jonathan Kongbo, who probably rightfully so, but now maybe we're learning it wasn't all of his fault. Never really lived up to expectations, but he was having a really good game on Saturday before the injury. Obviously the pick, but he was also getting into the backfield. He was making plays. He's been a little bit better the last couple of games. It's really unfortunate that he finally makes a few plays. He finally looks like he's starting to get it, and now his season and likely career ended by this ACL injury. He is a JUCO senior transfer, so he is out of eligibility. I imagine this far into the season, a medical redshirt is off the table at this point. I think he's due to graduate in December. I believe Jeremy Pruitt said that yesterday. I guess he can rehab and try to get ready for, I mean, is a bad time for this injury for him.
Yeah, I felt like he was finally.
Because if he had done a few things the remainder of the season and stayed healthy, you thought, wow, maybe there's a chance with his size and athleticism and speed, maybe he could make a roster somewhere in the NFL next year, not get drafted, obviously, but maybe make a spot, show the improvement, and now it appears his spring, instead of maybe working out and honing his skill set, will be spent rehabbing a knee injury. Absolutely horrible news for Jonathan Kongbo and the Tennessee Volunteers, again, because he had been making plays as of late that he had not made in his entire time here, with the exception of the pick six he had his first year at defensive tackle, and he's now a linebacker. Anything else on Kongbo?
No.
Can I get to the positives now?
No. Well, this officially makes Davies' All SEC prediction.
Davey said yesterday he was on pace.
Yeah, I mean, after that performance, that was an All SEC honorable mention at the lowest level.
This is what these young people do, Houston. They just make stuff up, send it around their echo chamber.
Listen, I agree with him. It's void. It's unfortunate. No, he wasn't going to make it, but he's right. It's void. We don't know that. I mean, we know that, but. Who knows?
Sometimes it takes one game, and it looks like he was having that game.
He could have had 7 sacks this weekend. He's going to be all SEC.
It's convenient.
So I'm just saying, he's right. It's just an unfortunate thing. If this was a bet in Vegas, you'd get your money back.
All right.
It's just the bet's off the table.
I'm outnumbered.
On to the positives.
Yeah, it's Optimism Tuesday.
Listen to this. This is season long. This is not just this weekend. This is season long.
Nice.
No cornerbacks have limited receivers in coverage from the Power 5 quite like these 6 players. Season standouts. The fewest yards allowed per coverage snack. Snack?
Are you hungry?
Snap is right above the word cornerback, so I said snacks.
I like snacks.
Season standouts. Season standouts.
Mm-hmm.
Fewest yards allowed per coverage snap. Power 5 corners 2018. Number one, David Long. 0.15 yards allowed per coverage snap. God, I did it again. What's a coverage snack? I don't even know where this is. I'm shook. I'm a corner.
Snack is when it's like a lame duck ball that just gets thrown up and you're able to catch it.
Yeah, coverage snack.
That's a coverage snack.
It just drops into your lap like a little snack. Hashtag coverage snack. Number two, Julius Brent, 0.23 yards per coverage snap. Number three, he's from Iowa, by the way, David Long, Michigan. Number three, Maurice Smitherman, Mississippi State, 0.26 yards per snap.
Bob Shoup.
Bob Shoup. Mm-hmm. He's got him a corner. Number four, Ennis Gaines, TCU, 0.30 yards per snap. Number five, Derek Beatty Jr., Kentucky. How about that? Two West players in the top five. No, they're not. Kentucky's in the East. Two SEC players in the top five, but they're from Mississippi State and Kentucky. It's a great segment for me. This is my first segment. This is the world and universe getting me back for your first segment.
As I've always said, you get that on them big jobs.
You get this on them big jobs. Number six, Alante Taylor, Tennessee, 0.41 yards allowed per coverage snap in 2018. If the goal is to have the guy so covered that they just don't throw at you, and that when they do, you just knock it down. Alante Taylor currently grading out, again, in yards per snap or snack, whatever you think, as the sixth best corner in the country. We've wondered. Why we never hear his name. He doesn't make a lot of plays. Now, he did scoop and score against Auburn on Saturday. But is he playing well? Why is Bryce the one making all the plays? Everyone said Alante Taylor was better. Alante Taylor's the number one corner. Bryce is the number two. Why is Bryce Thompson the one making the plays? Well, it's because he's really good too, but they can't throw at Taylor. They can't throw at six. He's locked down as a freshman.
You want to talk about a recruiting pitch?
He didn't even play corner in high school.
He played quarterback and wanted to play receiver. They gave him half the time in the spring and in the summer at receiver.
Yeah.
He didn't even know what he's doing, and he's locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, he's number six because he's number six.
Number six.
I mean, I'm trying to think of an SEC freshman that plays cornerback that would be able to, like, top him on the list of awards come the end of the year.
Well, that's the thing. Other freshman corners are like, Bryce will probably be better in the eyes of most because he's the one making plays, but he's making plays because they can't throw at Taylor.
That's what
makes this so weird. But he's guarding the number one in most cases.
Well, he'll have Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah,
this week. So we'll actually find.
Damn
out.
Damn it, Davey! It's Optimism Tuesday. Forget about Bama for a second.
This is still optimism. It's optimism. It's like we're just going to get a test. You're going to get a test. That's not being not optimistic or it's not being pessimistic. It's just saying you're going to have an opportunity to show even more.
Nah, the way you said, well, he'll get Jerry Jeudy.
He'll get Jerry Jeudy this week. That means he can prove it. Like, it's just like the.
Do you know who's been able to guard Jerry Jeudy so far this year?
Nobody.
Well,
nobody.
That was with Tonga Viola at quarterback.
That's true.
Well, this might be Jalen Hurts.
Let me stop. Let me finish my damn awards.
Okay. We did tease that.
Golly. I only got through one because I kept calling it a snack.
Coverage snack.
SEC players of the week this week, according to the SEC. Defense, Kyle Phillips. Finally playing like the five-star.
Big number five.
He was recruited to be. Go on.
Caused a forced fumble.
Did cause a forced fumble. 9 tackles.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
I thought he'd bat more balls this year. He's actually making tackles and plays.
Run
Look
fits.
At big Kyle Phillips. My man. Good to see him playing like the guy we hoped he would be out of high school. Amazing what some coaching and development will do for you. And the offensive player of the week, no surprise here, Jarrett Garantano, Tennessee football, both SEC players of the week this week. And another stat real quick. I don't know if the stat really matters. For SEC coaches, current SEC coaches, to get their first road win over a ranked team, there are 4 coaches in the SEC who have not done it, a road win over a ranked team. They are Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State, first year, Barry Odom, Missouri, year three, two, just whatever. Chad Morris, Arkansas, obviously first year, and Tarik Mason, who's been at Vanderbilt for a long time. How many games did it take Ed Orgeron to get a road win over a ranked team? 48. These aren't all SEC games, by the way. That goes back to his time at Ole Miss, okay, and Southern Cal, which obviously Ole Miss would have been an SEC game. You get the point.
Yeah.
Mark Stoops, also 48. It took Nick Saban 44 games to get his first win in the SEC over a road team. 44 games.
Wait, any road or ranked?
Is road win, ranked team.
Yeah, is it SEC, so it's not looking at his time at Michigan State?
No, it is. Road win, ranked team.
Okay, well, you said SEC. I'm sorry.
I said both. I said it as a head coach. These are the SEC
Orgeron's
coaches.
Is at Ole Miss playing a bunch of those.
But Southern Cal counted also. I don't know how many seasons he was at Ole Miss. You get the point. These are the SEC coaches. They've been head coaches elsewhere. Those games were tallied also. Yes, Nick Saban, 44 games to win his first road win over a ranked team. Gus Malzahn, 20. Dan Mullen, 19 games before he beat a ranked team on the road. Will Muschamp, 15. Kirby Smart, 15. Matt Luke, 12. Jimbo Fisher, 6. Jeremy Pruitt tied for the lead in the SEC. 6 games as a head coach before getting his first road win over a ranked team.
I want you to think about two words. Championship.
Guys, I don't necessarily know what it means, but I'm in. The fact that he's up there with a guy who's coached in a national championship game makes me feel good. Matt Luke at 12 is interesting. Kirby Smart at 15, he's played for a national championship. Will Muschamp, he's done a pretty good job at South Carolina. Dan Mullen, everyone seems to love him. Gus Malzahn's won a national championship, played for another. Nick Saban, he's got a couple. And everyone else down there at 48 or none is booty. Does that stat matter, or is it just interesting? Should they have even celebrated this stat? I think I like it. It's just another data point, right, to show a recruit, hey, I did it faster than that guy. I did it faster than that guy. I did it faster than that guy. You know Texas A&M's going to use it.
I don't think it makes you better than people on the
list. Also, was South Carolina ranked this weekend?
No. South Carolina?
No, I'm an idiot. So it took Jimbo Fisher 6 games to do it at Florida State. That was his first gig, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the ACC's overrated.
But a lot of coaches are going to start at a worse program, right, and have less chances to even do that. Like, I mean, you could play a whole year and not even have a chance. Like, if your first year. So here's my take. You can agree or disagree.
Probably disagree.
I don't think it makes him better than coaches on that list.
I don't either.
But it definitely proves that he can do it, I guess. You know, like to be able to pull off that win this early is still a good thing. But, I mean, you know, the fact that Auburn was – the only reason Auburn's ranked right now with their resume is because of where they – how people thought they would be to start the year.
I mean, they beat Washington to start the year.
Yeah.
They had a good win, and they only lost to LSU by 1. It seems like LSU might be pretty good and just laid an egg against Florida. I don't know. What do you think?
I think LSU still plays the type of style where it's easy to get them in a close game, and if it's easy to be in a close game, then you can beat them. That's what happened with Florida.
That's fair. But they did roll Georgia.
They did. It's like playing a basketball team that's defensive-minded. It's going to be easier to upset them because the score is just going to be more of a control type of game.
Also, Daniel Batuli was one of the top-rated linebackers in the league this week. Wow. He made the Pro Football Focus first team all-SEC defense this week based on his rating. So he had a good game. Unfortunately, he's out for the first half against Alabama. He'll be back for the second half and hopefully the rest of the season. And now we ask the question. If you're Alabama, you know, that knee for Tua, those knees are tricky.
We'll come back.
Do you sit him?
Talk Alabama's quarterback. And give us your thoughts.
Do you put him in the bullpen? Is he warming up the whole game, ready to go? Who knows?
You can give us a call on the McKinney Team Hotline, 865-546-8200. It could at least change the dynamic of the game. I don't know if there's any – there's probably 0% chance it changes the outcome, but it definitely changed the feel of Alabama-Tennessee, depending on their quarterback situation this weekend.
Covered.
You're listening to 3 and Out.
Final segment, hour number two of the program. We've got an official coffee sponsor of Three and Out now. It's Einstein's Bros Coffee, Einstein Bros Bagels Coffee. Check them out, Campbell Station, Cedar Bluff. You can even get a free cup of their Caribou Coffee right now with the purchase of any item. So swing in, buy a bagel, get a free coffee. It's great. It's the official coffee of Three and Out, Einstein Bros Bagels Coffee. Campbell Station, Cedar Bluff locations. Either one of those two has you covered with a free cup of coffee with the purchase of any other item to go with it. It's the official coffee of Three and Out. Okay, Alabama's quarterback situation.
And it's good.
I still think they should have done the whole, like, split up the season and just manage these guys the whole way. Like, why is Tua out there running and sliding in a game that's already over?
Is that how he got hurt? He slid?
Well, okay.
Did a cleat catch? I didn't see the play.
It's weird because it's his right knee, I believe. Isn't that correct? Right knee?
Mm-hmm.
He has the brace on the right knee. A lot of these quarterbacks slide onto their brace leg and get a bunch of dirt.
Or it gets caught in the turf and
fools
up. Yep.
Tua was smart enough to slide onto his left side, and he landed on his left side. It looked like everything was going to be fine, but his cleat didn't really get caught, but his toe kind of did, you know, land, kind of bang into the turf as he slid.
Okay.
And that was just it. Like, he just stayed down. He kind of rolled over. They came out. They talked to him. Eventually, he got up, and he kind of jogged off with a limp. And they even said he could have gone back in the game if it was like the national championship game or whatever, and it was tied. I mean, they, would have put him back in. But with such a lead, there's no need, and Hurts played out the game. They won, and the rest is on to this week. But, I mean, it seems like he has a strain.
I thought the knee was injured going into this
it
weekend.
Was.
Okay.
It was.
So he just
re-aggravated it? Yeah, on this slide.
Gotcha.
But he didn't – people pointed this out, and I agree. He did not look right in the pocket the whole game. Like, he was not his same mobile self.
Really? Oh.
Now, he threw the ball really well. I mean,
watch
the Skycam view of the first play of the game. Oh, my God. He goes through three progressions.
He's good.
In about – a second and a half, and then just throws the ball to the moon right on money for the touchdown. Yeah, he's really good. But mobility-wise, he didn't seem right even from the jump. And then when he slid, he must have – just the banging of his knee kind of onto his other leg foot.
Gotcha,
His foot kind of hitting the ground on the slide. Because, you tuck the leg you're going to land
Probably the brace hitting it too.
Yeah, he tucked the leg he's landing on, and just the hit kind of jarred his – If he sits this week, he gets this week. He gets the bye week, and then he could be ready for LSU, which they look pretty good. That's a road game in Tiger Stadium.
It's a great secondary.
It's the one game on their schedule you're looking at.
They gave Georgia fits.
They could lose this football game. What do you do if you're Nick Saban?
Well, the fact that the bye week comes means you could probably get away with at least testing him out Saturday and seeing what happens. Going to give him 2 weeks.
I guess, but if he doesn't play at all,
you could be sure.
3 weeks.
Well, and that's the thing. If he doesn't play, I still don't think you're worried about losing the game, right?
No.
Well, if you look at this from Alabama's perspective, it's Optimism Tuesday. They don't know that. So that was my perspective. Now I'm back on Alabama's perspective.
Okay.
Why would you risk it? Why? Why for 1 second would you put him out there? This is a game you're favored by 29. If you're worried that, now Tennessee might cover, all right. So what? Go out there, run around with Hurts, hand the football off, take your deep shots to Judy with Hurts. That's the best ball that Hurts throws is that deep shot. Yeah, you can still win the game. Jalen Hurts is 2-0 against Tennessee.
Don't you?
You don't feel like you can lose the game, so I don't know why you would risk Tua this weekend. I will say, though, as a Tennessee fan, Optimism Tuesday, I'd much rather see Hurts out there.
Me too.
Because he hasn't seen as much PT this year. The offense is different, which means they're going to have to readjust it back to do what Jalen Hurts likes to do. And if they do that, maybe there's a chance for some confusion on the offensive line with the receivers, with the running backs. Maybe Hurts, who's not quite as accurate with the football, maybe he gives you one. He's also fumbled a couple times this year in very, very, very limited action. Maybe he gives you one of those. And maybe Tennessee can, cover the 29. Hell, maybe they could keep it under 20.
Hang around.
I said I don't want the moral victory, but they might not need to go crazy this week to get it if Bama sits Tua. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm Nick Saban, I'm not putting Tua out on that field. This is that weird game on the schedule where you can ruin your season if you're Alabama by trying to do too much, by playing Tua, and all of a sudden Jeremy Pruitt, who probably is going to have a couple of things dialed up defensively to confuse folks, that's the old boss. I imagine Jeremy Pruitt may have a blitz or two in mind, and you'd hate to, if you're Alabama, I wouldn't risk it. No,
he knows
not a chance.
The skill sets of
he certainly
his opponent.
Does. That's why he's saying, "Don't worry about punt return this week, boys." He knows they're good.
If I'm Alabama, put myself back in their shoes. I go to Jalen Hurts and say, "All right, this is why you stuck around. This is why this is where we need you. You want to be an NFL quarterback one day, or showcase your skills for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get the whole game. This is your game. It's your ball." It's like in the starting rotation. You're handing the ball to your number two, and you're saying, "This is your game. Number one's not an option."
I like that. I'd tell him, "Hey, we could play Tua this week. We're not going to. We want him to get healthy, and you've played well. You've earned this opportunity. It's Tennessee. It's a big rivalry game. It's the third Saturday in October. It's 3:30 at CBS. Go put on a show, Jalen Hurts.
Put a game on tape for your highlight reel when Mel Kiper's talking about how a team took a chance on you in the fifth or sixth round even later. Why not? I mean, I don't know what he thinks about the NFL, but if he's willing to say, "I'd prefer to play quarterback, but if I can't, I'm also willing to test some other stuff," somebody will draft him.
Sure.
Especially if he comes out with this whole like theme of, "Well, he's a great teammate. He, even fought through all of the quarterback, losing the quarterback job and stayed at Alabama and then transferred, even if he transfers somewhere else next year and plays, he would have, quote, done it the right way," and everybody would, kind of give him credit for that. People would want that guy on their football team. I just give him the ball if I'm Alabama. If they can't beat Tennessee with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, like, something else went very, very wrong for them.
I mean, we're playing that angle, but as a Tennessee fan, I want to see Hurts and not Tua.
Definitely. I definitely think you can
if,
you could
what if it's
make
a bang,
it
a really banged up Tua.
Because they'll take him out. If he's that bad, they'll take him out anyway.
Yeah. Just go ahead and give me Hurts. Again, I'm not saying Tennessee has a chance to win. I not in this game. Last week I did. I tried to tell everyone there's a chance if this, and this happens. Just so happens it all happened. I don't think there's a chance you win this game this week. But if Jalen Hurts plays instead of Tua, I do think there's a chance it's much closer and that you can probably do some things that frustrate Alabama. And I'll say this. Their defense this year is good. It is not the Alabama defense that it has been because they haven't needed it to be because they've been scoring 11 billion points on folks. So maybe you can put up a couple touchdowns. Maybe you can still get some confidence offensively going against the great and mighty Alabama. I still don't think there's a chance you win, but if Jalen Hurts plays over two, I do think there's a chance that people around the country, maybe who don't know the story, would look at the score later and say, wait a minute.
Well, it definitely has a different feel with Tua being banged up a little bit and Tennessee coming off the win over Auburn.
They give up 31 points to Arkansas. Only 10 to Missouri, in fairness. But they did give up 31 on the road at Arkansas.
Road game, home game, yeah.
Of course, they were at Ole Miss that one night, and they gave up one play. Touchdown, and then they pitched a shutout the rest of the night.
You know what I saw on the broadcast this past week? The kid that gave up the play to the Ole Miss player just now got back in the starting lineup.
Because
he gave up that one
you
play.
You don't make that mistake.
And he only got back in the starting lineup because he had an injury at one of the other corner spots. It's just a whole different animal. Alabama comes to town. It's 3:30 CBS this Saturday from Neyland Stadium. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number three next right here on Fan Run Radio.